Just wanted to share two interesting tshuvas that exist in the monthly pamphlet from Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. And they're both, he has a number of shilas related to tzitzis to start off the pamphlet. All cute little shilas. So this one is a particularly cute one where he tells the following story, that there was a person who was stealing from the tzedakah box in the shul, and they found him on Shabbos. And they caught him, and they didn't know what to do to hold him for the police. So they tied him up in a way, writes in parentheses, in a way that it was permissible to tie someone up on Shabbos, because we all know that kosher is one of the 39 malachos, and therefore they were makbid, they were very careful to tie him up in a way that was permissible on Shabbos. And they wanted to know, were they allowed to tie him up? They didn't have any rope in the shul or strings in the shul, so they tied him up using the talis that was in the shul, or more than one perhaps. So they wanted to know, is that considered mutter to do, or is that considered a zilzal to the mitzvah? So that was the shaila that they asked Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. So he suggested a dimyon to the following case, a very interesting case that happens in the Gemara. It's in the Maseches Yuma and Maseches Sukkah, I believe, also, that there was always a machlokus going on between the tzedukim and the prushim. The tzedukim were those lived in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash who did not truly accept standard versions of Torah Shebaal Peh, and the prushim were us. They were the rabbinic Jews who followed the Torah Shebaal Peh with great devotion. So one of the major points of dispute between the tzedukim and the prushim was the mitzvah of nisuch hamayim. On Sukkos, there is an additional mitzvah besides the nisuch hayayin that we do every day with different korbanos. We pour certain wines on the corner of the mizbeach. There's a drain sitting on the side of the mizbeach that we offer what we call wine libations in addition to the korbanos. And there's a mitzvah on Sukkos only that in addition to the yayin, in addition to the wine that we offer on the mizbeach, we also offer water. And that's what the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is all about. It's all about going down to draw the water that we're going to use for the Nisuch HaMayim. And it's a very big and important mitzvah that we pay a lot of attention to as followers of the Torah Shebaal Peh, specifically because it's not actually mentioned in the Torah Shebichsav. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara in Tainus where you get the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim from the Torah Shebichsav. Either it's a small allusion within the Psukim, some extra letters, whatever it is, or the whole thing is just Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, and there's no actual source for it in the text of the Torah Shebichsav at all. Either way you look at it, the tzedukim were not too excited about this particular mitzvah. They didn't think it was part of the Torah, and therefore they didn't do it at all. Whereas we obviously took on an especially hearty role in terms of our observance of Nisuch HaMayim. Okay, so there was this Kohen Gadol who was a tzeduki, and as we know, that sometimes the office of the Kehuna Gedola got infiltrated by tzedukim, which was unfortunate, and there were a lot of precautions that were put in place by the Rabbanim to try to make sure the guy wasn't a tzeduki, and this particular tzeduki did not do the Nisuch HaMayim. So what did he do? He took the water that was supposed to be poured on the Mizbeach, and he poured it on his feet instead, in order to show that he was publicly disgracing the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim. And what did everyone else do? It says they pelted him with their esrogim, and they killed him via skila, esrog style. So that was they took their esrogim, which was obviously a chetz shel mitzvah. Everybody was taking lulav and esrog in the Beis HaMikdash area, and the Gemara seems to say that Nisuch HaMayim is in the morning because they were dafka taking the lulav and esrog in the morning. So, but that the Ritva on that Gemara asks, he says, wait a second. Maybe the whole reason that they mentioned that they used the esrog over there was to show it's not to show that it was done in the morning. Rather, it was done to show that they were not chas on the kavod of the esrog, and they used it to stone the Kohen Gadol, even though they would have thought not to do it because of the kedusha of the esrog, that it was a chetz shel mitzvah. So the Ritva answers, nah, that is pshita. That is obvious that it would not be a problem to use the esrog. Why? Because since they saw that the Kohen Gadol was a tzeduki, the kavod of the esrog was to make a Kiddush Hashem by giving him the punishment he deserved for disgracing the avoda. And therefore it was considered a proper usage of the esrog and bekovedik to the esrog to use it to stone this fellow, even though, it's not what the esrog was originally intended for. That's how the Ritva wants to learn. Okay. Then Rav Zilberstein also quotes the Hakdama of the Lev Elio. So he says that Rav Elio Lapian would wake up the Talmidim, and sometimes he would take a little bit of the tzitzit string and he would like wiggle it into their ear. Sometimes you do that to your friend as a little bit of a prank or whatever. So that's what he used to do sometimes to try to wake up the Talmidim to make sure they get out of bed to come to davening on time. Even though obviously you're using the edge of the tzitzit string for something which is not related to the mitzvah per se, and similarly we have other types of stories that you can use a chefetz shel mitzvah sometimes to try to punish somebody who's doing something wrong, or I'm not really sure how these exactly fit together. But Lamaisa, what he's saying is that we do find examples of using the tzitzis strings or the esrog or whatever we would call tashmishe mitzvah or a chefetz shel mitzvah during the time when it's still kosher for the mitzvah. So we find that there are such examples where we would use these things for other positive purposes as well, to punish sinners or the like, and therefore he leaves it as a tzarachia, and maybe you are allowed to, maybe there's room to say that it's not a complete disgrace to the mitzvah of tzitzis to use them to tie up this ganav till the police can come. All right, he leaves it like that. I don't think it's going to happen too often in general, but I thought it was a cute thing to bring up. One more cute little thing he points out. This is a little more common, perhaps, that there is a fellow who used to go around the shul, and he would try to fix up other people's tzitzis when they were. He would check the talis of the shul. He would check the talis of the yeshiva. He would check the other people's talisim, and he would see which ones needed to be fixed. And then he would take out his own tzitzis string, and he wanted to fix it himself. So he wanted to know: is it mutter for me to basically undo or redo other people's tzitzis in order that they should be fixed so that they're kosher? I just want to point something out on the side. That somebody, I don't know if he said it to me, I think he said it to me, somebody once came over to me in shul, and he said, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry to tell you that your tzitzis are 100% puzzle, and you have to fix them right away. So, okay, so I said, thank you very much, and I had looked at the tzitzis before davening, and it happens to be a couple of them had unraveled, and they, for the purpose of Hidur Mitzvah, certainly should have been fixed, and I wouldn't have said anything to anybody, but it happens to be some of my students were around. We were in a public shul, but I happened to be davening with some DRS guys, whatever. So I mentioned to the students, I just said, you should just understand that by 100% pasul, he meant 100% kosher. They're 100% kosher. They could be better in terms of hidurim, but in terms of kosher versus pasul, there's no question that this is 100% kosher. You just keep in mind. So a lot of times people think tzitzis are pasul, and they take it upon themselves to say that tzitzis are pasul when they're not actually pasul. So you can learn the Shulchan Aruch to figure out when tzitzis are kosher and when they're pasul. But lamaisa, let's say this guy knows hilchot tzitzis very well, and he knows that the tzitzis are actually pasul, and he wants to know, is he allowed to fix them or not? So Rav Zilberstein points out that this actually comes up in the Sefer Chasidim, written in the times of the Rishonim. He quotes Sefer Chasidim, and I'll read you the Lashon that he quotes. Zachin ladam shlo b'fanav. You can do something good for somebody else, even if he's not around to know about it, and it still works. So he says, "Ma'isa b'ishechot shayatam in ma'ayin metaliso shel beis haknesses liros im niskalkulu o nikru chutei tzitzis." There was this fellow who used to look at other people's talisos. That's the correct way to say talisim, and he'd look at people's talises. That's the wrong way to say it, according to everybody. And he would see if they needed to be fixed with the new tzitzis. And v'haya mitzaitza kilchasa. He would tie on the tzitzis correctly. And then afterwards he would tell the owner of the talis what he did, right? And this is something that it's important to keep in mind. The Rashba and Meseches Kiddushin and other Rishonim, he quotes a bunch of Rishonim in that Rashba as well, who say that when you do zachen la'adam shelo b'fanav, if I'm going to do something which is deemed positive for you, when I get the chance to inform you that I did it, I have to inform you, and you have to actually have to agree that that's something good. If you don't agree at that point that it's something good, then the whole thing that I tried to do for you doesn't take effect. But if you do agree at the time that you find out that it was good, then obviously it does work. And he quotes here a pirish on the Sefer Chassidim that the guy who tied the strings on the talis for the person, he saved the person from violating, I don't know if you want to call it an isser asay or a bitul asay, of wearing a four-cornered garment without tzitzis, because obviously the person's going to take the four-cornered garment, put it on, he's not going to realize that tzitzis are possible, and he would also be making a bracha levatala, and therefore the person is helping him fulfill the mitzvah. So he avoided the avera. He avoided a double avera of bracha levatala and wearing a dalet kanfos without tzitzis, and he was mezakeh him in the mitzvah of wearing tzitzis, so he's doing a tremendous thing for him. And he says, even, and he brings in I'll leave out the extra point that he brings in, but he says that why is it so necessary in this case to tell the owner of the talis after the fact that you tied the tzitzis on? Why can't you just let it be? It's not similar to a case where a person makes a kinyan, he makes you the owner of something on your behalf. Where there, if you find out that, or in the case of the Gemara, if somebody frees an Eved without the knowledge of the Eved, maybe the Eved want to still be an Eved, so if somebody frees an Eved Kanani, and the guy says, no, I want to be an Eved, I never wanted to be freed, then it doesn't work. We don't say Zachem Lodom Shalom B'fanav, but you have to tell him afterwards. Here, the tzitzis are on, they're kosher. Why should you have to tell the guy after the fact? So, number one, he says, because he just wants to let him know that he did the kehalacha, meaning when you tie the tzitzis on, you have to do it l'shma, you have to do it l'shem, the mitzvah. And he says, number two, that when you give a gift to somebody else, you have to tell them about it. It's a rule that when you give somebody a matana, chayav lahodia, you have to let him know that you eventually gave him the matana. So he says, and Rav Zilberstein just adds on another nekuda, and he says that nowadays that there's all kinds of chumras that people could keep with the tzitzis, since it's so easy to get a hold of. You pay a couple of dollars more and you get things that are handmade versus machine-made, and you get niputz lishma versus shelo lishma, and niputz is when they're, not even when they're spinning the threads. That, everybody agrees, has to be done lishma. But niputz, it's when you're combing out the threads and to get them, you know, the pre-thread threads. The little fibers, you know, some people are makbid to do that even lishma. So there are so many opportunities for, you know, that the guy would want all the hidurim in his tzitzis. So you have to tell the guy to make sure that he knows what you used for his tzitzis so that he can decide whether that's what he wants or that's what he doesn't want. So that's why you'd have to tell him after the fact. But he seems to say that it's very, you know, straight out of the Sefer Chassidim, that a person who wants to help out and fix somebody else's talis without telling him, he's doing him a great service, and he should just inform him after the fact so that he'll know that it was done properly and that he'll know that he was in recipient of the gift.